Good evening, everybody. Good evening. But Chassidim say on after Purim, they say Afelech and Tomid. Not just Purim should be happy, but Afelech and Tomid should always be happy. Hope you had a nice Purim. It's interesting that I thought that we find in the Sifrei Hashkof and the Sifrei Musa, we find that the Yiddish year, the Jewish year, is a spiral. We say from Rosh Hashanah leads to Yom Kippur leads to Sukkot, which leads to Simchas Torah, which that leads to Chanukah, that leads to Purim. It has to move on from one Yom Tov to the next. One leads to the next Yom Tov. So that's what the Sifrei Musa write. But it's interesting that when it comes to Purim and Pesach, it's muchach from the Gemara. It's evident from the Gemara, because the Gemara says that when it's a leap year, when do we do Purim? When it's a leap year, when it's two Adars, when do we do Purim? On the second. The Gemara says, why is it? Why is it we do Purim on the second Adar? That's right, the Mismach Gula Legula, we join one Gula to the next Gula. The Gula, the Yeshua, the redemption of Purim should be close to the redemption of Egypt, of Yetzias Mitzrayim. They have to be close by. So that's why the Mismach Gula Legula, this redemption, that redemption is to be as close as possible. Therefore, Purim and Pesach have to be as close as possible. Therefore, by definition, Purim is always going to be on Adar Sheni, which is closer to Pesach than Adar Rishon, which is another month removed. So you see for me that it is connected. Purim and Pesach has to be connected intrinsically. Purim and Pesach are intrinsically connected. I have a question. I don't know what the answer is. You would have probably thought the other way around. Because what does Purim represent? What's the Yesod of Purim? Nes Nista. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is found even in hidden miracles. Right? Nes Purim took many, many years until it unraveled, and it was Nes Nista. And as we know, the name of Hashem does never appear in the Megillah. It was hidden Nisim, very, very hidden, extremely hidden. And what Pesach is Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is very revealed miracles. And we normally say, the Ramban says, that from the open Nisim, we learn the hidden miracles, not the other way around. So it would have made more sense, in a way, to first have the revealed miracles, and then after this, we learn from there the hidden miracles. But Purim and Pesach, which is Nismach Gula Legula, they are nearby because for a very, very intrinsic reason. But it's the other way around. First the hidden miracles, and after this, the revealed Nisim. I don't know what's chatting at. I don't have an answer. If anybody can help me out. Pardon? Yeah, I know, but I know you're right, but I'm coming from the Gemara, the Mispach Gula Legula, they are joined. They are one is connected to the next, one leads to the next. Mispach Gula Legula, the one leads to the next. How does it, why does Pesach come after Purim? What does Pesach add to Purim? Should it be the other way around? I don't have an answer to that. Robert Feingold? You agree to the Ora?
Because Shavuos comes after Pesach.
Yeah, because that I hear, but no, because Yetzias Mitzrayim has to lead to Kabbalah Zotera. Yetzias Mitzrayim, after itself, after the Kodesh Baruch Hu, is no point without Kabbalah Zotera. That I can hear. Okay, so that's Ora Ba'al, I'm not sure what the answer is. On both sides, tonight we're going to be learning. It's very interesting that Reb Shlomo Zalman, by the Purim Suda, he used to, Reb Shlomo Zalman, by the Purim Suda, we'd start learning Hilchas Pesach, because it's Shloshim Yoyim Yifnei Achag. Pesach is exactly 30 days after Purim. So he uses to start, that Gemara says that we learn from a pasuk, from Novi, that we have to learn Hilchas Pesach 30 days before Pesach, before Yom Tov. So whilst we don't learn Mamon Hilchas Pesach, but many halachas actually are relevant to Hilchas Yom Tov and Hilchas Pesach, so it's still Shin Aleph, not so much, but still there are some points which are relevant. So that's, okay, it's Geshmak to be back in Simon Shin Aleph. Okay, we're up to Simon Shin Aleph, and we're up to Sif Chof. So we learned about the handcuff person, and now that leads us to Sif Chof. Hein yoitzin be ankatmin. You're not allowed to walk out with ankatmin. What's that? So that's what we thought. That reminds us a little bit of Purim. Hukimin chamoir. It's like a donkey. Shoyz na litzan, which clowns ride on. Venirek roi chavolov. So basically, what it is, it's like a pretend. It's a pretend donkey or horse, and you ride on it on a stick. He has like a bit of a looks of a donkey or a chamoir, and you ride on it. V'nirek roicha, but it appears as you're riding on it. V'unoisoi, and you're holding it. V'hoilech beraglev, and you walk on your feet. And Veloy, so you're not allowed to walk it. Why not? Why not to walk out with it? It's carrying. So you're carrying over here. Although, yeah, so this is the point is because it's because you are walking with it. You're co-holding it. Veloy b'ksharim. Ksharim is stilts. Ve'maitzim gvoim, it's tall sticks. Sheyesh bo emoishav lekaf regel, there's like a little step for the palm of the foot. Ve'olchem bo embetet, and you walk on it when it's when there is mud. When it's very mud, you walk on stilts. Ve'loy b'promi, promi amasks. Fim kementzu as partsof, it's like a shape of, it looks like a little bit like a face. Shinois nimal aponim, and you put us on the face. Why? Why do you put it on the face? Lehav chedat yinoiko is to make the children scared. That's the reason why you do it. Lehav chedat yinoiko is to make children scared. So the shaila is. So what are the three things? Again, the first thing is the donkey. The second thing is the stilts, and the third thing is the masks. So all the three things you're not allowed to walk out with. Why not? They're all the same reason. Because you are. You're carrying. You're holding it. So whilst you could have argued, I suppose. Pardon? No, so these are masks that you're holding. So the halachically speaking, the words which are very, very critical is what Mishnah Berurah says if cotton ayin is en yotzei ma'an katmin who v'chol zeh with all those hatam, the reason is b'nisha ein zeh derech malbush. Halachically speaking, the way it is defined is that it's not derech malbush, it's not worn. That's the halachic definition of it. V'moytzei b'an. And if you do walk out with it, b'chein kav kitten is kal el potu, it's still only the rabbonon, but it's still also because it's not derech malbush, you're not wearing it, you're holding it, and but still it's only midrabbonon. Siv chav alef en yoytzin b'teva v'kupa machzeles. This is the following halacha: if it's pelting outside, or maybe even snowing, so you want to take a you want to protect yourself from the rain or the snow by a teva, by a box, kupa machzeles, all kind of types of boxes, and you're literally holding them on top of you, which is the equivalent of contemporary umbrellas. Yes, you don't have to walk out with this. But you are allowed to walk with a sack, with a bag, a sack. Very thick materials which you like put on top of you. Let's say there's even a hole and you put your head through it. That's fine. So what's the difference? Why is it that the box you're not allowed to walk out with and this thick bag you are allowed to? Because. That's right, very good. So, and this is, right, so, and that's a mastery. I just want to point something out, which is important, because if we talk Lomdish, we have to be clear in the following Nekuda. We learned in earlier Seif the difference between Atzule Metinuf and Seif, it was over here, in Sif Yud Gimel and Yud Dalet, we learned that Atzule Metinuf is permitted. I'm just looking for the right ma'amokim. The halacha was that you're allowed to put something on you if you are protecting yourself from, we spoke about wounds, and we'll shortly speak about that again. If a person is trying to protect himself from Atzule Metinuf, that's what Sif Yud Dalet says. Davar Shudech Malbush, Afilu Meinu Lo Yifshel Mishum Atzule Metinuf, Mutar Lo Tzibo B'Shabbos. He's talking about various protections that you're clearly putting on. Tzi'i from B'Dak Shom, you put some hood on, or a hat, which protects you from the rain. The halacha is you're allowed to do that. Why? Atzule Metinuf is permitted. So if you are, that's the whole, generally speaking, that's the reason why we wear clothing. Clothing protects us from rain, from sun, from discomfort. That's you're allowed to protect yourself from all those things. Oh, so I'm just, that's the point I want to clarify. So it says, we're learning that if you're putting something on, which is not protecting your garment from getting soiled or dirty, but you're putting something on because you're protecting yourself from, protecting your body, you're protecting yourself, then it's permitted. We spoke about that. So why is it that you're not allowed to put on, you're allowed to put on a hat or a hood or something like that which protects you from rain, but you're not allowed to walk out with a box, which Shulchan Aruch now says that you're not allowed to. So what's the difference? Because what? Very good. So the term is derech malbush. If something is worn in a levisha way, because you're wearing it, that's the key point. The Rishonim speak about it, that's why I'm emphasizing. If it's something which you're wearing, then it's derech malbush, that's going to be mutter. If it's not worn, then it's going to be also. And therefore the box which is held on your head, that's going to be also, although you're really generally putting on for the same reason, then you're putting on a hat. But the difference is the hat you're wearing and this you're holding, and that's the Issa, and that's the difference.
Like in African countries, the women carry on their head.
Right.
Don't they? So that would be.
So that'd be also. Yeah, it'd be also because you're not wearing it. You're not wearing it.
It's the common way of.
Yeah, you're not wearing it. It's a way of transport. Yeah. So that leads us to an interesting shaila which Nodibuda discussed, and that's the umbrella, the contemporary umbrella, which already exists from Nodibuda's times. I didn't know how old they were. The beauty speaks about an umbrella. And my brother always makes a point of emphasizing where was the tshuva written to? The shadow of the umbrella. It was written, to somebody who lives in London. To a yid who lives in London. It was a shadow about umbrella on Shabbos. And the shoyl wants to taina that lichoyre, because you're holding an umbrella for purpose of protecting yourself from rain, so what's the difference than a hat? What's the difference than a hat? Oh, so the answer is, that's what the beauty says. It's because it's not a chmalbush. It's not a chmalbush. It's not a chmalbush, and therefore that whilst the reason is identical, but the way it's not worn, and therefore it's going to be also. There's other shayla as well of oil, of making a tent, all that. But yeah, but that could be that. But yeah. That could potentially, if it's open before Shabbos, you'd argue that it's, you know, if it's open before Shabbos, you know, it's pretty safe to assume that it's going to rain over Shabbos at one point or another. So you keep it open before Shabbos, and then what's the problem? But the answer is yes, it's not derech malbush.
In the old days when you would go out with a bowler hat and you would look carrying an umbrella, whether it was raining or not raining, that's the way you of covered of malbush.
Yes, we spoke about the stick which is derech covered, and here again, the halacha is that it's also because of derech malbush. The silver stick. Yeah. So this is very similar to what the Shulchan Aruch actually says, mamash over here. Shulchan Aruch says that if it's besak v'riyu v'chamila, begodim gasim, which are basically putting on top of you, that the Shulchan Aruch is matir.
The rain hat.
Because the reason why you're wearing the rain hat is to protect your hat and not yourself. And that's why it's also. That will be completely also, because the reason why you've got plastic over the hat is protecting the hat and not yourself. Anything which is to protect from you, protect your clothing, that remains also. Yoytziv chav beis. Yoytzim b'moich v'sfoik shalamako. This is now talking about wounds again. We're talking about moich v'sfoik shalamako, which is the equivalent of plasters. It's some sort of material which absorbs the blood on your wound. You cut yourself or whatever it may be. You've got a wound on your skin, and you have got a plaster there. You're allowed to put something on you're allowed to protect it. Why is that? Lefisha merapim, because it heals you. So the reason why you're allowed to have a plaster on your body is because he heals you. Then it goes into the category of tachshit. It's very interesting because that teaches us a lot about what tachshit is. A tachshit is something which you require. It's something which is, there's two categories, we mentioned that earlier. There's two reasons why something is mutter. Either because it's a malbush, it's a genuine clothing, that's mutter. Or it's a tachshit, something which has got a practical purpose. It's decorative, or it makes you look in a certain way. You don't need it, but it helps you, supports your appearance, and that's why it's mutter as well.
So you said about it helps healing, so why can't you then take a tablet on Shabbos?
That's the truth is, that is Simchin Chof Ches, tablets on Shabbos, that's a different issa.
That's also healing, isn't it?
Yeah, but this is addressing two different aspects of it. There's an issa de Rabbanon of taking medicines on Shabbos. That will be discussed in Simchin Chof Ches in a few weeks' time in Mitzvah Hashem. That's one topic, and there's an issa. Here we're addressing something else. We're addressing why is it that you're allowed to walk, if you placed it before Shabbos, the wound, if you placed the plaster before Shabbos on your body, why is it you're allowed to walk out with it? And the answer is, because you put it on before Shabbos, so it is in terms of doing a refuah on Shabbos, you're not doing anything on Shabbos, but in terms of walking out with it, you're allowed to walk with it because it's protecting you. So it's protecting you. It's like a tachshit, it's protecting you. Therefore, it's mutter. לפי שהם מרפי מלכה חווה כמו תחשי וכן בקליפס שום ובוצל אוניין או גרליק אוי בספלניס מלוק מרתיע שעולהו. If you've got a garlic or onion which you're putting on you because they have medical, yeah, there's something medical about onion and garlics. Pardon? It does something, no?
Yeah, French, it does.
Yeah, that's what they say. Right, they say that, so there is some anybody into homeopathic, because I know that in the homeopathic world, they very much believe into that. So, the Gemara does say that klipas shum u'botzel really helps. Because planets meluk mevretir she'oleo, what makes him from not fall off, if you've got like a kind of plaster or something which makes it not fall out, that is also mutter. You can walk out with it. But if this onion or this garlic or this medical item which you've placed on your body, if that fell off on Shabbos, you may not place it back. The colch can even more snow shalayin and betchila. Don't, if you've got pain in a certain place and you want to put on garlic, you want to put on an onion leaf there or something, you want to put it on Shabbos, you're not allowed to. That leads us to the reason for you. Because you're not allowed to make a medical activity on Shabbos. So never mind carrying. Forget about carrying. Just another is over here. Just to put on medicine on your body on Shabbos, if maybe onion, maybe garlic, whatever it is, you're not allowed to put it on your body on Shabbos because you're doing refuah on Shabbos. But if it's been there before Shabbos, so you place it before Shabbos, you're allowed to walk out with it on Shabbos.
The medicine was because I was told it's because it's grind, you might grind it.
Yes, correct.
But if you need the medicine for Sakana, you should take
Sakana
it.
Sakana, definitely, yes. Yeah, absolutely. We'll speak about it in Chofres. But also, Licho, Chutu Meshich Ala Makal, Lord says, boy. If you want to tie something, ala mark on the wound, Lord says, boy, the kimon she'enu merapi mavemasu. If it's not merapi you, if it's not healing you, it would be also. Avol be'egoid she'koyich ala retir shalay zipol malav yochol elech boy v'koyshoy matir. I want to say what there is a bit of a discussion about it. Rabbi Yisai, what would be that loch? So let's say a plaster. I think a plaster is a good example. Okay, you cut yourself. You want to put on a plaster. Okay, can you put a plaster on Shabbos?
Just
Pardon?
Just had to ask you.
Yeah, so the answer is as follows. The answer is, you are allowed to put a plaster on Shabbos. The one thing you have to make sure when you put a plaster on is that you don't, let's say if it's a finger, make sure that you don't tie the plaster on itself. Because that would be another problem. So if it's on the skin, that's fine. But it's a shail of toifeh, of sticking something very, very, we'll speak about it in Shin Mem, I think it is, Aloch is, that if you tie something on a permanent basis, on itself, that's a shal of toifa, could even be the reise. But a skin is not called toifa. If a plaster on the skin is not toifa, but the plaster on itself, that's toifa. So you have to put it on in a different way. In terms of carrying, so in terms of that, toifa is okay. In terms of refu is fine as well. In terms of carrying is also fine. However, I would like to argue the following, and I failed to check before the shir if that's the loch, but I have a feeling that's true. I wonder what you think. Rabbi said, what happens if you've got you cut yourself, say, a bit higher up over here, say, I'm just making up an example just to bring out the point. You don't really care about it so much. It's not, there's no danger of infection. There's no danger of, it's not a massive cut. Just, you know, a bit of a cut. Now, the reason why you want to put on a plaster is, to be perfectly honest, is not for physical reason. The reason is because you don't want your shirt to get old or dirty from the blood. You don't want it to get old stained. And that's really the reason why you want to put on a plaster. What would be the halacha then? Right. Then what then? No, I don't think it is. I would argue then, I believe in that case it will be also. Because why do you put, because the only reason why you're allowed to, because that's we spoke
that's why
previously.
You
put no, I don't think so. I think
anywhere.
That. That's like I'm not sure. I mean, I think that.
The same risk of infection there as you are there.
When I put a plaster on, it's not, I don't actively think about an infection because I'm not particularly concerned. But ultimately, it's not, no, it's, I want to make the wound heal as quickly as possible and as, but over here, I'm talking about a scenario that I'm purely putting, I can still think of a reason why I'm putting on a plaster simply because I don't want my clothes to get soiled. I can think of such a scenario. I think if that's the case, then we learned this distinction. I don't know what you think. That there's a difference between if you're carrying atmosphere, we support anything that is placed on your body because you're protecting yourself, then it's mutter. But if you're protecting your clothes from getting soiled, or you're protecting you're protecting your garments from getting wet, that's a tzulimit. Pardon? Right, you're saying that there's also an element in there still that your mice you still protect. I hear that. Ultimately, there's still that intention as well. Pardon?
So if it's not referred for your hands, and therefore the only reason why you put the plaster on your thumb, for example, you just cut, is stop blood dripping everywhere.
Right.
So that's the same difference as your arm. You don't want the blood dripping onto your shoulder.
Right. You're saying that there's no difference really.
Same thing.
Right. Okay. Okay. Point taken. Do you agree? What do you think? You think? What do you think? You think there's enough, Kamina?
Yeah, one's referred, one's cosmetic.
No, they're not, though.
No, normally that's
plaster. Yeah. Okay, pardon?
So when you put the plaster on, because it rubs against it, it starts hurting.
Yeah, that would be perfectly mutter. Because the reason why I'm putting it on is for your own benefit. It's not about the clothing. Right. Okay. That's the halacha. Now, Sif Chof Gimel is going to be the makor to discuss the spare buttons. It's a very sore topic. It is very, very difficult, very difficult topic. The spare buttons, which are commonly attached to our shirts, to our suits, they're everywhere, the spare buttons. We don't know why they're there, because, you know, we never use it. But for some reason, it's still, I don't know, it's probably still in, it's still there from the 1850s for some reason. I don't know. He's like, I don't know why. Does everybody use their spare buttons ever? Yeah, it does happen. Really, yeah? From on shirts? A spare button? Yeah, if they fall off, you're going to take a spare... Really? Okay. Pardon? Okay, we'll see. It's okay, very good. Oh, beautiful, beautiful. It's mamash machlokes. This is mamash machlokes. What you are discussing... We'll see what the Shulchan Aruch. Let's start from the Shulchan Aruch. Habonim yoitzim bezogin. If you've got boys, yoitzim bezogin, they're allowed to go out with zogin. Kimin pa'amoinim ktanim. These are the little bells. Little bells. Kimin pa'amoinim ktanim. The boys used to go out with little bells attached to their clothing. Little bells, gentle bells. Woven, the arugim, they're woven. Some that are woven into their garments. But if they're not woven, if they're just like, they're not woven intrinsically into the garment, it's also, if they're also attached to something, they need to be mamash woven in. Now, these are the key words. It doesn't help. That it's attached to the garment, that itself is not sufficient. Rak only bedava for something shadakol yos mechubasham. Only if it's normally it's always attached there. Havrim chibasham dava shein darke bekach. But if it's something which is not normally attached to it, also it remains also. He needs to be so like the zogin. The zogin, the belts, that's all the clothing. They used to have belts. If you are a pre-bar mitzvah boy, you go out with some sort of garment that has little belts attached to it. It's normal. In fact, it's strange if it doesn't work out with those belts. No, right. So it could be that, that's to be discussed why. Yeah, okay. So it could be that, I'm saying, you're okay with the Sefer Torah having belts? Yeah? So it has to be discussed. It's a good question, but we'll leave that for now. So that's what he says. It has to be attached. If it's something which is not normally attached, then it's if it's not normally attached, then it's going to be also. So here, let us speak about Moshe. Moshe comes along, and he was asked about, this is going back in the 1950s, 60s, and Moshe was asked about the spare buttons. And Moshe says, listen here. I hear the belts, Shulchan Aruch tells about the belts, and he says it has to be darkoi, the fact that it has to be woven in, and not, woven in is not good enough, it needs to be something which, darkoi lios mechubasham, something which is always there, and it serves a certain purpose. It's darkoi mechubasham, it's there. Hold on 1 second. He said, however, Moshe Tainas, that if it is a spare button, so it's not really something which is darkoi lios mechubasham. He said, it's there for, what's there? If you're the manufacturer, the reason why you're putting it there is that the reason is because they really want to sell you. They want you to buy the shirt. And they know that they're more likely to sell it if there's a spare button there. Now, they could really put in a plastic next to it, but they know very well you're going to lose it before you get home. So therefore, what they do is they attach it onto the shirt. It serves absolutely zero purpose onto the shirt at this point. It's only because it may fall off, and if it may fall off, you may want to access this button, which is additionally attached to it. But it doesn't, it's not dark, it doesn't have any, it's not like the belts. The belts are there for a reason, and it's there for a very good reason. It's part of the garment.
If every single shirt or suit is made with a spare button, it becomes as intrinsic to the garment as the buttons on the side that you don't use that are just there for decoration, I suppose. That's the argument.
Yeah.
If every single one is made with spare buttons,
I mean, I want to ask you something. Why is that different than when you buy trousers? Very often there's going to be tucked in a little bag, so there's going to be spare buttons, which are, or in a suit or in trousers. They'll often have in a little bag. Whenever you buy it, there's going to be a little bag, a little plastic, and there's spare buttons in there. Why is that different? Why don't we say then, okay, so whenever you walk out, you're allowed to walk out with it because that's the norm.
Because it's not attached.
Is that the vault? Because it's not attached.
So it's in the chuppah, it's got to be attached. So if this is the way to make a shirt and it's attached, that's not attached.
Right. Does everybody agree to that?
It doesn't say it has to have a use. It doesn't say anywhere here that it needs
to. No, it says that it is the norm of wearing it. That's the normal way of wearing it. Okay, so Ramosha, Ramosha doesn't like it at all.
How do we?
Has to be for
Rabbi. Yeah, we'll speak about Rabbi Fangel. We'll still speak about the belt. Let's just finish with the buttons. No. We'll speak about it. Chagul Rabbi Gud serves a certain purpose. Now it has to serve a purpose. If I put a belt on top of a belt, it's also. Shemizam Mamish points out. So you are saying that what? With regards to the button, he says that it doesn't really serve a purpose. It's only because it's a practical way of having a spare button. That's the way they sell it to us. It's a practical way. And he said, it's not dark, we don't really need it. So Moshe doesn't like it, and he says, ideally you should take it off. I think it's true to say that Minik is not to do it. Shlomo Zalman, other poskim, say very, very similar nusach to what you are saying. But even he says that really, if you think about it, it's just a spare attachment, which is there for, if you don't need it now, it's not like the Shabbos belt or anything like that, which has a purpose now. Everybody agrees you don't need a spare button now. It's just something which is attached to it now for it, because you might need it, you might or might not need it at a later point. So he said it's a muscle, really. It's a muscle which is tightly attached to the shirt, to the trousers, to the suit. And so many points can like it, but I think it is true to say that the minhag olam is not to worry about it, and it's seen as a chumrah to take off the buttons. I think it's true to say that. But it's interesting to note that many achronim are very strongly to dislike it. Yeah. Yeah, that I'm not worried about, because that is clearly part of the malbush. That is part of the clothing. A shirt has buttons here as well. Because it's not a spare. It's not something which you might or might not need. This is the tzura of a shirt, to have a button on top as well. Even if you're not going to use it. That's the tzura of a shirt. But a shirt, intrinsically, doesn't need a spare button. It just, in case you might want to need it, you're going to use it. Yeah. So that's... That's part of the malbush. That is part. That's the tzura, that's the way a suit is meant to look. Good question, why? That's the way it looks. That's the way a suit looks. But a shirt, which has an attachment to it, that it's not really, a shirt would be just as good without it. It's just that they're selling it to us for that. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, we learned tonight the halachas of the donkey, which you're holding, and the mask. And about the stilts, and we learned all that is also because not the Ech Malbush. We spoke about the table cup machzelis, the box which you're holding against the rain and the snow. We learned that's also, if it's a thick bag or something like that, which you're wearing, that's going to be mutter because of the Ech Malbush. We spoke about the medical onion and garlic. Maybe try it out tonight. Which works if it's because it's a refuah and it's mutter. We learned also that don't put it on Shabbos because of refuah reasons. And we learned about the bells, which is mutter. Because if it's woven onto the clothing, it's taka bekach. If it's not woven, it's going to be osu. And we therefore spoke about the spare buttons, which we said the controversy about it. Good evening, Abbo Yisai.